Shall we pray?
Amen.
Heavenly
Amen.
Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
thank you, Lord.
We come before the throne of mercy, Lord.
Blessed be thy holy name.
We are in your presence.
Wonderful Jesus.
We pray, Father God.
Amen.
Father God, in confirmation,
praise
your presence, Father God. Let Lord go through your word.
Wonderful.
You may draw us nearer to you, O God.
Hallelujah.
May it bring healing to our bodies.
Glory.
May it bring, Father God, edification to our souls.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, and may it grow, Lord, into that perfection, Lord, that Father God, we may be ready for the wonderful day. We pray for this moment, Father God. Be with us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Open your word. Open our hearts,
thank
Father.
You, Lord.
Circumcise our lips, Father God, to speak your word. And Lord God, may you bring to us, Father God, that which you desire as for us this morning.
Hallelujah.
We commit this service into your hands, Father God, for your glory and your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. We may be seated. I thank the Lord and once again want to greet you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was down in the Philippines to the what they call the Holy Week, the Easter holidays. We had good times down in Butuan City. Also, and all the churches around that area were all gathered. We used the time services down there in Butuan. Prior to that, we had been in Manila, where they had a joint fellowship for all the churches which are in Manila. And we had a good one Sunday, two services, and we were really blessed. When we went down to Butuan City, and then we visited some of the churches down there in that province of Mindoan, and we had wonderful times there. And wherever we were, they were all sending their greetings to you, and they appreciate also your prayers that the Lord will help them. And I want to thank God that His brother Dan said, I'll be going to Cambodia, and so I also solicit your prayers that the Lord may help us and guide us in what is right for us to do. So we thank God for that, and I would like also to extend the greetings from the churches there in the Philippines. And also, from back home, when I was coming over here, they asked me also to bring their greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for a few moments, I just want to share with you a thought here. If we can just read from the first book of the Corinthians. First Corinthians, we want to read Chapter 8, Corinthians, chapter 8, we'll read only one verse, which is verse 6. First Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. If we read again another verse from Mark chapter 12, we'll read verse 29. Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I just want to speak on this thought, the Lord our God. Now, to the true church of God, which is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible here says, the Lord is her God, and there is no other. The church of God, which belongs to Him, and which is by Him, and through Him, knows that God, or the Lord God, is her God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was asked about the commandments, they asked Him, which is the first commandment? The first of the commandments, He said, there is only one God, and we should love this God with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our everything. So, to us, or to the church of God, we have been called to worship God, and to us, there is only that one God. He is our God, not just because He is God. He created heaven and earth. He created the angels. He created all things that are in the sea, on earth, in the air. All that makes Him a creator. And I want to believe that somehow, in some way, His creation worships Him. Yes. The sun, the moon, and all the things that are created, they have something or a bearing that recognizes or shows forth that there is God. David said, the heavens declare Him, and the earth glorifies Him. But for us, He is our God, not just because He created us, not just because He created heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. There is a relationship between God and this church.
Right.
There is a relationship between you and God.
Amen.
And that relationship is not something that is just a theoretical thing or a traditional handed down affair between you and God. As we see in the book of Matthew, one time they came to John the Baptist. The Pharisees, they say, we have come, you baptize us. And He said to them, who has warned you? You vipers, so he called them, snatching the grass. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Even the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, He says, many will come to Me on that day and say, Lord, we prophesied in Your name. Lord, we cast out demons in Your name. Mm-hmm. But I'll say unto them, I know ye not. So there must be a relationship between God and this church.
Amen.
And that relationship is not just because we worship God. It's not just because we believe there is God. As much as He is God and He is there, the Bible says even the devil and the demons, they believe in that God and they tremble.
Uh-huh.
But with us, there is a relationship that makes Him our God. And Paul here in the book of Corinthians says, the Lord our God, as for us, there is only one God, there is only one Lord, who is above all, and we are through Him. So I want to look into the scripture and see our relationship with this our God, who He is to us, and what He means to us, and what we are to Him.
Amen.
Paul says, in the book of Philippians, he says, although he was brought up under the strict order of the Pharisees, he was a worshipper of God, He was a keeper of the law. According to him, he had no blemish according to the law. He was righteous according to the law.
Right.
But he says all those things that seemed to be riches to me, I count them now as done, that I may be found in him and have the righteousness which is not by law, by tradition, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. That I may go through whatever suffering or whatever it is, that I may be a partaker also of the resurrection which he experienced.
Amen.
So you see, Paul desired a relationship with God that is more than something that is just handed down. Something that is more than a religious affair with God. So there is a relationship between the church and God. And the Bible, in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, when you pray, you should say, "Our Father who art in heaven." No. So, as much as he is God, and people, they just want to maybe take it like, because he is the creator of all things, and from childhood, we have been taught the Lord's Prayer, where we say, "Our Father who art in heaven," and then we just take it on that basis, that everybody, as much as he is created by God, is a child of God. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says, when we come to this our God, who is only God, only one God, we should say, "Our Father who art in heaven."
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name. So this our God, he is our Father. We address him as our Father because, not just because he is a creator, not just because everything is by him, but there is a personal relationship between you and him,
right,
that makes you call him our Father.
Amen.
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 In the first book of Peter, chapter 1, Peter says these words. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God,
right,
which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
So our relationship with him, when we address him or when we come to him as our Father, it's not just because he is God, but the Bible here says we are begotten of him. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which abideth forever. Mm-hmm. So when God called us to him, to worship him, he was not just bringing us from somewhere to come to him and worship him. But the Bible here says, we were born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God.
Uh-huh.
So we are his children by the word of God. We are his children because we have been born again. So he is our Father because we are born of the word of God. So the church of God is not by tradition, but by this birth, by the incorruptible word of God. So when God wanted us to come and worship him, when God desired us to worship him, he did not just bring us to associate or to be acquainted with him on that relationship, but he had to bring us to him by the word of God,
We had to be born of His Spirit, born of His Word.
Amen.
So that when we worship Him, there is that relationship, there is that acquaintance of us with Him. He had to bring this to pass by the power or by the revelation of who He is.
Amen.
So we know Him not by creation. If we look at all the creation of God, if there is any recognition by the creation of God that there is God, it is by the fact that these things were created.
Amen. That's right.
If somehow we could ask the animals what they think about this God, because they were created, they would sure accept the being of God.
Mm-hmm.
Or everything that is on earth would recognize God because they were created. Even us also, we were created by God. But we don't know, and we don't come to God on those grounds.
Right.
And God did not ask, want us to worship Him on the grounds that we were created.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something that He did to us. He revealed Himself to us. Not just by creating us, but He brought us to Him through that revelation of Himself to us. As we know, that before there was anything, there was this great eternal spirit who occupied all, the prophet says, space and time. There was no yesterday, there was no tomorrow. There was nothing that was there. It was Him in that eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that He brought Himself, or He revealed Himself in this Logos, which is the monogene or the Word of God, to bring forth all creation.
Right.
And Paul says, we don't know Him just as He is God, but we know Him in the power of our sin forgiven and in His holiness. So God, who desired to be worshipped, not just because He created us, He revealed Himself way back through that great Logos, which is the Word of God. And God sort of condescended from that eternity into that body of time in that Logos. What He wanted to do was to reveal Himself, to bring out His eternal desire,
right,
that He be God.
Amen.
That He be worshipped. So, from those fountains, God was bringing us to the realization of who He is. So, we come to Him and know Him, not just by creation, but by that power of revelation, how He has condescended and revealed Himself. So, when it comes to us here, when we come back to Him to worship, we are the manifestation, we are the realization of what He was, or what was His purpose while back there in eternity. So He is our God.
Amen.
And in the book of Hebrews, He just shows us how He came down to bring us this revelation of who He is to us. In chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, if we can look at verse 6, maybe we start from verse 5. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth even the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. In verse 8, but after the son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, here the Bible is showing forth, as we have said, the word of God, which is the Logos, which is the manifestation of this eternal God, and which is the seed through which and by which we have been brought into existence as the church of God. Here it says, he never said to any of the angels at any time, thou art my son.
Right.
So that is not given to angels. He says, no angel is addressed to by him as son. And again, he says, this day I have begotten thee, and I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Right.
Now we know this is being addressed to Jesus Christ.
Right.
As the first begotten of the Father. So after all the creation, now God here is introducing another order, which is not just him being a creator, but a father.
Amen.
And the Bible says we have only one God, and he is our Lord, and he is our Father.
Amen.
And we address him as our Father who art in heaven. So here we see how it all started. When he said, this day has begotten me, and that is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the word, which is God, and is the first begotten of God, through whom we all have our salvation. We have our sonship. We have our access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God wanted us to come to him, it was through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he said, this day I have begotten thee. You are my son, not to angels, but to Jesus Christ. So he's bringing in this order of him being a father. And we, when we come to him, we are the children of God through Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2 of the same Hebrews, when we come to verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the kingdom of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one.
Right.
For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So it was addressed to Jesus Christ that this day has begotten me. And not to any of the angels did ever God say, I am your father, or I have begotten thee.
Right.
But it is to Christ Jesus.
Right.
Then this same Jesus was made a little lower than the angels when he tasted death by the suffering of the cross. Why did God have to do it? So that he can bring many sons to God.
Mm-hmm.
So it is through Jesus Christ, who was humbled to taste death, to bring us to God, not as just creatures or created beings, but now we have to be the sons and daughters of God. Because Christ Jesus was made to suffer that he may bring to God many sons. And we are the children of God through Jesus Christ,
right,
who is the Word. And the Bible says, we are born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
So God, through Christ, is bringing us into a relationship which is more than any other creature. For it begins by the recognition of Jesus Christ that this day has begotten me. Not to any angel was this ever addressed,
right,
but to Jesus himself. Why? Because through him, he was going to bring to himself worshippers who are sons and daughters of God, who worship God, not just by creation, but by this enactment of the Word of God, which brings us into a relationship with God as sons and daughters. So, to us, there is that one God. To us, there is that one Lord. To us, there is that one Father, who, through Jesus Christ, has brought us to him, that we may worship him.
Amen.
Not just traditionally, not just theoretically, but by an experience of birth, by the same Spirit which brought forth Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he is our God, and we worship him because of that.
Amen.
Amen. You know, he is more than a creator to us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in the book of Hebrews, or rather, let's just go to the book of Galatians. I just want to get something from there. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ,
thank you,
the manifestation of the Word, which is God, is the first begotten of God, through whom we are all children of God. And because we are children, we are sons of God, God has given us the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, which cries, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Now we are no more servants, but we are sons and daughters. And we are heirs of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Spirit of sonship brings us, or brings the power of adoption, that we may come to the fullness of the purpose of God. Because here it says, because we are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, which cries, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Not only that, that makes us not to be servants, but sons. And if we are sons, there is yet another thing which awaits us. It is to be heirs of God through Christ. Mm-hmm. There is an inheritance that we are going to.
Amen.
So you see, we don't just worship God just because we want to worship him in this time. But God has given us the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of sonship. And that Spirit of adoption looks onto the inheritance, to the promise of God. So we are children of God. We are not just domain, we are not just stagnated in just worshiping God.
Right.
There is a purpose why we have been called. There is a goal that we want to achieve. There is something that God has promised us that through that we be perfected. That through that we live a life that is different from the world. You know, like it was with Abraham. When he was given the promise, it changed his lifestyle. It changed his mentality. You know, he had faith in God because of what God had promised him. So, our God has not just called us to worship him, but he has given us the spirit of adoption. And that spirit looks on to the inheritance which God has prepared for all those who seek him.
Right.
He is our God. That is our relationship between us and him. It is not just we are worshippers. We are children. And we are looking forward to that inheritance.
Amen.
Our behavior, our faith, our conduct, even in this world, is determined by the hope that we have been called to.
Right.
And that is the inheritance of God in his saints. And we are coming to that perfection. We are coming to that conclusion. That's why we don't just worship him as he is God.
Right.
We have a relationship with him. There's a father-son relationship between us and him. And that relationship has given us the spirit of adoption. Amen. The spirit that cries out in us, Abba, Father.
Amen.
So we don't say Abba, Father because we were trained to say that.
Right.
Not because we were taught to say that.
Amen.
But there's an indwelling spirit and presence of God in us.
Amen.
That makes us address God as God.
Hallelujah.
And it is that spirit of sonship that makes us to look forward to that inheritance.
Right.
It is that inheritance that perfects us as we go towards this. And God said to Abraham, I have given you the promise, but be perfect. Walk perfectly before me. There's something that comes into our life. There's something that holds and directs us because of the promise which God has given us. Even in the book of Peter, it says, God has given us precious promises that by this we may obtain the divine nature.
Right.
So it is the promise of God. It is the purpose of God in our lives that makes us have the nature of God. So we worship God by the power of the life of God, which is by the promise given to us, in the sense that God gave us the spirit of sonship, which is not an end in itself, but which is the deposit, the down payment, that we look forward to the total redemption.
Amen.
Because of that hope which is put before us, we don't just worship God just because he's God.
Right.
Because of that hope put before us, our worshiping is not just to pass time.
Right.
But it has got a destiny.
Amen.
Where we are being called to.
Uh-huh.
We are shaped. We are what we are because of what God has called us.
Amen.
Paul saying, I don't say I'm perfect yet. But there's one thing. All the things that I used to cherish, they are as done to me. And I press towards the high calling of God, which is in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because of that hope, there is something that makes you yearn for the holiness of God. There is something that makes you look forward for the real thing.
Right.
You know, even your life, even your desires are not just things which are just temporal.
Mm-hmm.
But you are looking forward to eternity. You are looking forward to that inheritance because you are a child of God.
Amen.
And the Bible says, it is only sons who dwell in the house forever.
Amen.
We are not passers-by.
Right.
We are not visitors.
Right.
We are not strangers.
Right.
But we have been made to be co-heirs with Christ. And because of that promise, we are not just like the world. To us, there is that one God.
Amen.
And He has revealed Himself to us and imparted on us the ability to walk according to His word.
Hallelujah.
We have no commandments.
Right.
Like Brother Donald is saying, we have no book but the Bible. We have no other instruction but the word of God. And what is the word of God to us? It is the revelation of God.
Amen.
And we don't get revelation by choosing, by being taught. We get revelation by the life of God.
Amen.
Through being sons of God.
That's right.
So that's how we come to know God. That's how we come to get in to get in grips with the things that make us what we should be.
Amen.
Not just by being pushed or taught or forced to do particular routines.
Uh-huh.
But it is the life of God.
Amen.
The very life of God.
Right.
Through the spirit of sonship that brings us to be subjective even to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So, we are children of God. And because we are children, God has got a different approach to us than from the rest of the world.
Uh-huh.
Because we are children, we have got a different approach to God than the rest of the world.
Right.
There's that relationship.
Right.
And then we back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. God has given us the spirit of sonship. Now, we see in chapter 12, verse 5, of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Lord our God deals with us as children. For so are we. We have the spirit of adoption, which cries out, "Abba, Father." Jesus Himself said, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven." But may this be known to us. It is not just words coming out of our mouth saying, "Our Father." But it is the spirit of adoption that is in us, crying out, "Abba, Father." And because we are children, God deals with us as children. God does not deal with you as He deals with the rest of the world. God does not deal with you as He deals with all religions.
Mm-hmm.
You have a special relationship with this God who is our God. You are children. And because you are children, God deals with you as children. He knows what you need as children. Because here He's talking of a chastisement. He says, every son who is received of God has got to go through this chastisement, through this scourging. There is that perfection which must come to you and upon you through chastisement. And it is only two sons and daughters of God. Because you are sons, God comes down and deals with you as sons. But let's bear this in mind, that even when the Lord Jesus Christ came, He spoke the word of God. And then He will tell the disciples, "To you the mysteries of the kingdom are revealed,
mm-hmm.
But to them, they are not. When God called out Israel out of Egypt, it says also a mixed multitude was in their midst. There is always that there are other people or other elements that join in. But now we are looking at our relationship with God. We have come to Him, and He deals with us as sons. There must be that perfection. There must be that in you that makes you to be a son and a daughter of God. Then the process that you must go through to perfect you as sons and daughters. Because the Bible even says, Jesus Himself, He cried to God with tears, supplications, and prayers, and He was heard because He feared God. And He says, when He was perfected, He was then made a priest after the order of Melchizedek and the author of our salvation. Though He were a son, He subjected Himself to God through the things that He suffered. So if God has given us that spirit of adoption, like He did to the Lord Jesus Christ, when He said, Thou art My Son,
right,
this day I have begotten Thee. And then He confirmed it at baptism, in whom I'm all pleased to dwell. And then for the third time on the mount, when He said, Hear ye Him. God was confirming that Jesus was His Son.
Amen.
And it is through the spirit of sonship that He subjected Himself to God. In Gethsemane, He prayed, Father, let this cup pass, but not My will, but Thy will be done. So you can see, there is something that brings us into relationship with God. Not just joining and going to church. But we are children. And because we are children, there is a process that God brings us through. And that is chastisement. We have got to be chastised. To be true sons and daughters of God.
That's right.
Is that right? And then, it says, if you cannot subject yourself to this chastisement, then you are not children. But, beloved, we are the children of God.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 4, God came to Cain, because Cain offered his sacrifice and God did not receive it. And then he was angry. He went on to discuss the issue with Abel. He later on killed Abel. And God came to him and said, Where is your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Then he said, But the blood of your brother is crying from the ground. You have killed him. And because you have done that, the earth is not going to give you its strength. When you plant, you shall not get the strength from the earth. And you are thrown away, or you bear vagabond in the earth. And what did Cain say? He says, My punishment is too great. I cannot bear it. And in the book of John, he says, Don't be like Cain, who was of the evil one. Cain could not accept chastisement. Cain could not accept correction. And the Bible says he was of the evil one.
Right.
But you are children of God. And God deals with you as children. And because you are children, you accept the chastisement of God. He says, Forget not the word of the Lord that speaks to you as children. That every son whom he receives he must be scourged.
Right.
He must be chastised. So it is through chastisement that we are perfected. Because we have the spirit of adoption.
Amen.
We are children of God. So, we have a relationship with God. You see, when they came to Jesus, Jesus gave them bread that day, 5,000 of them, they ate bread and were filled. And the Bible says the next day, they were looking for him.
Right.
And he said to them, you are not looking for me because you saw the sign, but because you ate bread and were filled. But you know, if you were looking for what you saw yesterday, I am the true bread. Eat my flesh. This is the true bread.
Uh-huh.
And what did they say? We cannot take that.
Right.
They went back. Then Jesus said to the 12, will you go also? It was the same test that he gave to these others. And they said, we cannot take it. We'll go. He came to the 12, will you go also? And Peter said, where can we go? We have the word of eternal life.
Right.
So you see, the spirit of sonship recognizes the working of God. The spirit of sonship subjects itself to the chastisement of the Father. Because you are sons, because you are daughters, there's something that holds you on to God.
Amen.
It's like the prodigal son. Although he did what he did, there's something that came back to him,
right.
That spirit of sonship.
Right.
He says, I'll go back to my Father.
Amen.
Although he had this in his mind that I'll just be a servant, but he never said, I'll go to another man. He says, I'll go back to my Father.
Amen.
I'll rather be a servant in my Father's house.
Right.
There's something that brings sons back to God.
Amen.
There's something that makes children of God recognize that God is God.
Uh-huh.
And God deals with them as children.
Amen.
He says, I'll go back to my Father. Amen. Every son and daughter of God will go back to the Word of God.
Amen.
Will go back to the revelation,
right,
which brought him to birth.
Amen.
He says, I'll go back to my Father. That's where I came from. Amen. So God, to us, he is our Father. The Lord our God is one God. Amen. Jesus said to them in chapter 8, I think it was St. John, he says, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Right.
What did they say? We are not nobody's servants. Mm. We are children of Abraham. We have Moses to our... he's our prophet. You know, they will not continue in the word, though they believed in Jesus, but they could not continue in the word, in the revelation, in the true revelation of the word. All they could do was believe and accept that Jesus, yes, there's something about him, and they followed him. Then Jesus says, it's not just following me, but you must have the revelation of the word and you shall be freed. How can you say we are servants? We are Abraham's seed. Can you see? That spirit which forbids people to continue in the word of God. To continue in the revelation of the word of God.
Amen.
We receive the prophet. We are in the message. What more do we need? Can you see?
Right.
We have got all the books. We have got the tabs. What more do we need?
Right.
There's a resistance to the furtherance of the revelation of God. There's resistance to the furtherance of the purpose of God with his bride. But you as children, there's something that draws you to God. Remember, we read in the book of Galatians that we have the spirit of sonship. And because of that, there's something that is in us to that inheritance. The perfection of our souls to that inheritance. Because children of God were never from the beginning called to a day the end.
Right.
It has always been a promise. to Adam was given the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Replenish the earth. When he failed, to him was given the promise, your seed shall destroy the serpent. To Abraham was given the promise, to Isaac the promise, to Jacob the promise, to David the promise. All children of God live by the promise.
Amen.
The further revelation of the word of God. When Moses was called, he was shown all the glory of God. But he said, Lord, if I found grace in your sight, show me your glory.
Amen.
To Moses, it was not just coming out of Israel, out of Egypt. To Moses, there was something greater than coming out of Egypt.
Right.
You see, Jesus Christ, when he came, he said, I'm not the end of the matter.
Right.
I must go. Oh no, you must not go. You must be with us. He says, no, I must go so that the Spirit can come.
Right.
There's always a promise to the children of God.
Amen.
And when the Spirit comes, Paul says, he is not the end of the matter, but he is a down payment, a deposit for the full redemption.
Amen.
When God gave us the message in this hour, it is not a dead end.
Uh-huh.
There's still the promise.
Right.
Amen. Of the furtherance of the revelation of the word of God.
Amen.
So to children of God, that's why we say, this our God, we have only one God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, he has only one God and one Lord, and that God is a God who reveals himself,
uh-huh,
and brings people through the spirit of adoption from glory to glory.
Amen.
We have not been called to a dead end.
Mm.
We have been called to a ministry. We have been called to a promise. We have been called to the purpose of God, okay, even in this our age.
Hey.
So it takes the spirit of sonship to see what God is doing and what God is manifesting according to his promise in his word.
Hey.
It was when Jacob desired that birthright. When he got that birthright, it was then that he was given the revelation of where to choose his bride. Esau rejected the birthright and he chose something which was out of the way. When Jacob was given that birthright, when he saw those angels coming up and down, he says, God, if you are going to feed me and keep me, you will be my God. And God gave him a promise. This land will I give to your children as an inheritance.
Right.
So there is a father-son relationship between the church and God. And because of that relationship, it molds your character. It makes you accept chastisement. It makes you accept correction. It makes you have the ability to see the promise of God, to see the furtherance of the revelation of God in his word. It only takes the spirit of adoption. So to us, God is our Father.
Amen.
The Lord our God is our Father. There is that in us, the spirit that cries out, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are children, God has called us to him. Amen. And another thing, he is our deliverer.
Mm.
We don't just come to join up. He delivered us from the things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In the book of Romans, I think chapter 11, verse 26, it says, out of Zion, the deliverer will come. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord our God is the deliverer. Like Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. He's not in a hole or a cave somewhere down there. He's our Father who is on the throne in heaven.
Amen.
And as far as redemption is concerned, he delivered us out of Zion. The deliverer came out of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Zion is not a cave somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Zion was the stronghold of David.
Amen.
Zion was the strongest fort in all Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's where David built his fort and his capital city.
Right.
It was on Mount Zion. And the deliverer came out of Zion to deliver us. Which means it's a total redemption. When he comes out of Zion, he is showing his strength. He has subdued. He has his capital. He has his fort on the highest peak. The best fort you could find in Israel was in Zion. And from there, the deliverer comes. That means he's not coming from somewhere, hiding from a hole somewhere. He's coming from the highest of the highest. That's where redemption comes from. That's where our deliverance comes from. Amen.
Amen.
And because of that, Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, he says, I have overcome. I am he who was dead, but now am alive. Jesus is not alive because he is alive. He is alive because he conquered death.
Amen.
He conquered what every living thing is afraid of, is death.
Yes.
He is the last enemy. So Jesus Christ delivers his church by the power of victory over death. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what death is. It says last, when it's perfected, it brings forth sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when sin is perfected, it brings forth death.
Yes.
So death is the source of all sin and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So, to us, he did not overcome sin. He did not overcome lust. He did not overcome drinking, smoking, and all those things. He overcame the source of all these things, which is death itself. So he overcame. He is a deliverer out of Zion. He's not a deliverer who can deliver you from this, and this is too difficult for him.
No.
He is not a deliverer who can deliver you from this other thing and cannot deliver you from the other thing. It's a total deliverance.
Amen.
That is the Lord our God.
Amen.
When he delivers you totally. Because he has overcome death.
Amen.
That is our relationship with him.
Amen.
He is our father, sure. We are sons and daughters. And also, he is our deliverer. Amen.
Amen.
He delivered us from the power of death. According to Hebrews chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
He delivered us from the power of death. Amen. Abraham, when God called him to worship him, he didn't just call him and say, now you are there, just worship me. The Bible says he brought him out of the land of the Chaldeans. He brought him out of Ur. He brought him out of all idolatry and brought him to the promised land and decided to reveal himself to him. So, to Abraham, he was not in that land of idols. He was in the land of promise.
Mm-hmm.
God has delivered us out of denominationalism, out of sin, out of all these things, into his word.
Amen.
And it is here in the word where he nourishes us and brings us up unto perfection.
Amen.
He has delivered us. He does not leave you in that land of corruption. He does not leave you in that environment of all those demonic powers. He delivers you out of those things. Yes, we are in the world. Yes, we are still here on earth. But we are not part of it in the sense that we are subjected to the sins of the world. Because we did not come to God by joining, we have been delivered.
Amen.
He has brought us out of all the lusts of the world. He has brought us out of all the things that bring the people of the world into sinful living. He has delivered you.
Amen.
Amen. As the song says, I'm delivered Praise the Lord. I'm delivered to live by His grace. I'm delivered to be the church of the living God. We have been delivered. Amen. He is a deliverer. Amen. And the deliverance comes from, like, okay, maybe we can just read Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, we just want to read verse 35. And they remember that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Psalms 19, verse 4. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Okay, this is verse 14, rather. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God is our redeemer. David says in the book of Psalms, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but our trust is in the Lord. Amen. He has delivered us. By His redemptive power, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, He has taken us out of the world, out of darkness, out of the power that rules in the air and in the children of disobedience. He has delivered us and brought us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are children and we are also the delivered ones. He delivered us. Amen. Amen. So now the church works after the pattern of Him who called them. Amen. Our relationship with God causes us to be what we are. Now, maybe in conclusion, we have seen that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the seed of the Word, which is incorruptible. That brings us into relationship with God as sons and daughters. We have the nature of God in us through birth. Right. And as children, we have the spirit of subjection to God. Not because we are forced to do it, but as we are seeing, for us, there is only one God and one Lord. And we are joined to Him, not by tradition, but by birth.
Amen.
We are His children. And because we are children, there's something yearning in us for that inheritance. And God has also redeemed us. There is the working of God in you. It doesn't mean you have got to be taken out of this earth. Mm-hmm. We are living in this earth, in this world, under the systems of this world, yes, but there's something that God has done in your heart. There's something that God has done in your life. He has redeemed you from the power that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Though you walk among them, though you interact with them in school, in work, and in daily living, but there's something that has alienated you from the things of the world. That is the deliverance that came out of Mount Zion. You have been delivered. God to you is a deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Though you are in this world, though you see the things of this world, but like Jacob, when he was blessing those two boys, he says, the God before whom my fathers walked, before whom Abraham walked, before whom Isaac walked, the angel that delivered me from all evil. He was a delivered one. Can you see? Though he was born without the birthright, but the deliverer accessed him to the birthright. He was delivered from the curse of nature, whereby he was born without the birthright. God delivered him.
Right.
When he went to Laban, there he stayed for 20 years. But the angel came back to him and said, I'm the God of Bethel. Go back to your fathers. He was delivered from that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Laban tried to follow him, but God delivered him. Even one of his wives took the God, one of the gods of Laban, but at Shechem, the deliverer met him. He says, now you are going to Bethel. And he told all his household, bring all the foreign gods. And he buried them there, and he went to Bethel.
Right.
When God delivers, he makes a total good job of it in your life.
Amen.
He's a deliverer. That is our God. Irrespective of the office you work in, irrespective of the environment you are in, irrespective of the home you are in, God has delivered you from the pains, from the power that withholds you from the things of God. You have been delivered. Not from a hole somewhere, but from Zion. The deliverer came out of Zion to overcome death, to overcome all the power of Satan. And because God is our God, he has delivered us. And let us close by reading 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. There's a relationship between us and God.
Right.
As for us, the Lord God is our God. There's only one God, and that God is our Father. Not by tradition, but he has begotten us by his word. And because he's our Father, he deals with us as sons. Because we are sons, we are subjected to chastisement. We are subjected to correction. And the spirit of sonship accepts the chastisement of the Father. He is our deliverer. He is holy. So be ye holy, not by tradition, but by the power of deliverance. You have been delivered from the power that holds, from the power that reigns in the children of disobedience. You have been delivered from the cause of sin. You have been delivered from the hold of corruption in the world. And he who called you is holy. And the Bible says, be ye also holy. So our holiness is not traditional holiness. It is by the power of life of God which is in us.
Right.
And because we have been delivered, we cannot again be subjected to slavery to the things that God delivered us. Because Jacob said, the angel who delivered me from all evil and has kept me all my life. His God, who is your Father, your deliverer, who brings you out, never to lose you again.
Mm-hmm.
So we live and we walk in the same. For in the book of Hebrews it says, without holiness, no man shall see God. And God has not just instructed us to be holy. He has given us the spirit of holiness. The spirit of sonship. That's why we yield to Him. That we may be accomplished in the purpose of His call. May God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Very quiet. I don't know where you're sleeping or not. You know, and let's just go to the book of 1 Peter, the verse that was first taken out. I want to add something to it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The word, by the word of God, by the logos of God. This word here, word, is translated from the Greek word logos. And it is not rhema. Okay? The next verse, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the rhema of the Lord endureth forever. All that which was written will endure forever, because it must come to pass. For we are not born of the rhema of God's word. We're not born of the rhema of God. We are born of the logos of God. Now, interesting to know that Jesus conquered death. And death is one of the things that, in fact, the most feared thing in human life. When we get a disease or an affliction, we are all afraid that we might die. And it's the fear of the unknown, usually, in most cases. But Jesus, though He was without sin, He conquered death. He was willing to lay down His life. If He did not lay down His life for us, He would have been, well, 2,000 years old today. Is that right?
Yeah.
But He was willing to die so that you may have life. And that's not why He said we are born of the incorruptible logos of God.
Amen.
Because He received the life from the Father. And He laid down His life for you. He shed His blood. And we are not born of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are born of the Word and the Spirit. Alright? Or born of the water and the Word. That which came from the side of Christ. The blood must be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It is the shedding of the blood that the life is given. And it is this life that we receive, that we are born of.
That's right.
That's not why you need to live that life. Mm-hmm. You see. And of course, it was a wonderful message. After all, a lot of people say, oh, believe in God, believe in God, believe in God, worship God, believe in God, go to church, this and that, blah, 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 blah. Is that right? Or believe the message, you know, this and that. You know, it is all about the relationship between you and your God.
Amen.
What else do you need? What encouragement do you need? What encouragement do you need? Thou shalt don't do this. Please don't do that. Be a good boy, be a good girl, be a good wife, be a good husband. What else do you need about encouragement? It's all about your relationship with God. If you are born of God, you will walk in that life. Nothing else needs to be said. If you are born out of the Baptist church, you eat Baptist creeds and dogmas and food. So they will tell you, when you stand and sing, please stand still, hold your book like this. If you are the charismatic, shout, speak in tongues, because that's the way you are born with, that's the way they encourage you to do. And what is the encouragement here for you and me? What encouragement? Nothing but to live the life of the Word of God. That's what you all need to have.
Amen.
You see? Amen. The world is dangerous out there. Very dangerous world we are living in. You see, it's an African jungle. Yeah, there are wild beasts out there to get you. Because the Bible said the devil not just moving like a roaring lion. I mean, crocodiles and pythons, he will have all kinds of means to get you. You see. But we believe the word, we walk in the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the message. So we just stand and just thank God for it. Lord, the Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious word, and we want to give you all the praise and the thanks for what you have done for us and giving us this precious word of life. Truly, Lord, in our relationship with you, because we are born of your word and your spirit, Lord, that's why we have this relationship. We are not called to come to church just for the sake of coming here to sing song and to praise you. But Lord, that we may learn from you, we may feel your presence, your spirit, your life, Lord, bubbling and stirring within us, that we are children of the living God, and we have this relationship with you as our Heavenly Father. And therefore, Lord, we can call you our Father, and that we call you because you really are our Father. And we want to have a special walk with you, Lord. And we know, Lord, like a natural father who loved a natural child and walk with that son or a daughter and having a great time of relationship with them. And Lord, we also know that you want us to be stirred up and to come to you, Father, and to be near you and to speak to you and to feel your presence, to obey your word and feel your instruction in our hearts, O Lord, that we will one day be so close together that we'll be ready to go. So, Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. We singing, continue singing another song. Psalm 61 again, we'll sing that. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hear my cry, O Lord.
Eternal rest, clad in that rock of safety, a rock that keep us from all those things that are out in the world that is bombarding us in this life. And we know, Lord, Thou art not just a Savior, deliver from all our problems. We know that we can look to You, Father. We can look to You because You have given us this precious rock of life, the very Logos of the word of yours that you have given us, that we have this life eternal, that thou have quickened us, Father, our spirit to receive it. And we thank you, Father, for this. We bless the holy name, we praise you, and we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.